We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you. If you'd like to help support these Word of Life podcasts, please go to the Contributions tab at WOLC.com.
Psalm 23, you know how it starts out. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I've been traveling a lot lately. I have seasons where I travel and speak considerably, and then I'll have seasons where I don't. I was writing a book, and so I wasn't traveling, and now I'm done, and so I am traveling, but I need to start writing more, so I need to quit traveling. But anyway, this week I was in Georgia. The week before I was in Ohio. The week before I was in Mexico, and the week before I was in Chicago. Anyway, next week I'm in Kentucky, so traveling by the airplanes. I am an experienced traveler. I was in Atlanta Airport yesterday, and they had a special line that says for expert travelers. I said, "Oh baby, that is me." I was like, yeah, expert. I mean, who isn't going to claim that? But I thought, I was looking around these other jokers. I don't know if you're not. I'm an expert. Expert traveler. I know the rituals and the liturgy of airport. They have their rituals, you know. The removing of the shoes. That's part of the ritual. Got to thinking about that the other day. I've been places around the world where if you wanted to visit a certain place held sacred, you had to remove your shoes. I mean, it was just, you know, it's part of how the place is considered sacred. You have to remove your shoes. Think about, the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. If you're going to go in there, you have to take your shoes off. I remember one time visiting that great big Al-Azhar Mosque in Cairo. Had to take off your shoes. Let's see. The famous Madurai Temple in South India. Had to take off your shoes. I visited a Buddhist temple right there in Varanasi where Gautama Buddha preached his first sermon. If you wanted to go in there and see that, had to take off your shoes. Lots of churches, in fact, in Africa and especially India. Many times I've been in churches in India where that was the custom. You take your shoes off. I remember the very first time I was in India, way back so long ago. And I didn't know about that. And I started, we take our shoes off. And there was a pile of shoes out there. And I had bought a brand new pair of shoes right before that trip. And I was traveling light. I just had one pair of shoes. And I took off my shoes and left them there. Went in, preached my first sermon ever in India. Was so excited. Came back out and was kind of, I looked and looked and my shoes were gone. And the pastor said, "Oh yeah, sometimes the Hindus there are coming and stealing our shoes." So I left in my socks and the next day went to a shoe store. I mean, you know you're a really potential customer when you walk in the shoe store in your socks. You know, the salesman's going, "I'm thinking I can probably make a sale here." But in America, we don't have sacred places much. Disillusioned words like bullets bark as human gods aim for their mark and make everything from toy guns that spark to flesh-colored Christ that glow in the dark. It's easy to see without looking too far. Not much is really sacred until you go to the airport. And then we tread upon holy ground. We do our little puja, our little ritual to security. Because in a secular society that has lost the sense of sacred, there's no sense of transcendent and the divine and the holy. What we call sacred is our security. And so we take our shoes off. By the way, we don't do that anywhere else in the world. That is purely American. Even if you're on a flight from France, and that got started with that Richard Reed guy trying to blow up his shoes. He was flying from France to the United States. That's where it started. But if you fly from France, you don't take your shoes off. I always like it when I'm in Europe, or anywhere for that matter. You can always spot the Americans. Because everywhere else in the world, you just go through the metal detector, you leave your shoes. But there's the Americans. They're trained like Pavlov's dog, you know. They know what to do, and they're putting their shoes on, and the rest of the locals are just looking at them, you know, like, they're Americans. That's what we do. It's our sacred ground, security. Take our shoes off. And then there's the liturgy. The liturgy that we hear in the airports. We frequent air travelers have heard it over and over and over. The current threat advisory, as established by the Department of Homeland Security, is orange. It's always orange. It's never not been orange in the airports. It's either yellow or orange, yellow, but in the airports it's orange, orange. It's always orange. I just keep waiting for something else. But the current threat advisory, as established by the Department of Homeland Security, is orange. Please report all suspicious behavior to the proper authorities. Well, I appreciate the responsibility that the authorities have to protect the public. I really do. I understand that. But for air travelers, the threat level is, it's always orange. It's just, it always is, which is a high risk of terrorist attack. It's been that way for 7 years. And anyway, I got to tell you, honestly, if I see somebody trying to set their shoes on fire or blow up their underwear, I'm going to report them to the proper authorities, no matter what the color code of the day is. Last week, I spent even more time in the airports because it's springtime and I'm going through Chicago and there's storms, and I think there was 3 flight delays and 1 cancellation and bags lost and all of that, which you would be surprised. As long as I get to where I'm going, I really don't mind. I really don't mind because airports to me are just big, exciting libraries. I just have my books, and I kind of like the energy of an airport. I kind of like it. It doesn't bother me. And, you know, there's a Starbucks, and I got my books, and it's okay. I'm completely happy in an airport. But I spent more time there than usual because of all the delays and canceled flights because of weather issues. And I kept hearing that orange alert announcement over and over and over. And I just more than ever became aware of it, and it finally started to get to me. It started getting on my nerves. It started to annoy me. I mean, it began to sound like, orange alert! Be afraid! Stress out! Terror level is high! Orange level anxiety! That's how I started. I know I'm different than you, but that's how I started hearing it. And I started like wanting to talk back to it. Report all suspicious activity to the proper authorities. I wanted to find somebody and say, I'm suspicious. It's always orange. It's never anything else. It's always orange. Doesn't that seem suspicious to you? It's always orange. I didn't. But I felt like I was being given a script. A script is how I should feel, not just about air travel, but about life. And that's really what this sermon is about. Because we all live our lives according to some script. Like William Shakespeare said, all the world is a stage. And men and women, merely players, they have their exits and their entrances. Well, even if the world isn't exactly a stage, it is a story. As we experience life as a story with a script. But here is the most important thing you're going to hear tonight. I'm going to build on it. We all have a choice as to what script we will accept. You know how when a director wants to have a certain actor because they're famous and they're good and they would draw people to the play or to the movie. They give them the script. And the actor reads it and says, yeah, I would like to play that part. Or, no, I don't want to play that part. Life is a story. Life has a script. But you get to choose whether you will accept or reject certain scripts. So last week I was sitting there in Chicago O'Hare, hearing the orange alert for the gazillionth time. And not that it was making me afraid. It wasn't making me afraid. I tell you, it wasn't making me afraid. But I was still just irritated with being handed the orange alert script. So I was kind of fussing about it, just in my own mind. Or Perry wasn't there. I couldn't complain to anybody. It's by myself, which is probably a good thing. And I was kind of thinking about that when all of a sudden this alternative script with an alternative code color came to my mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And I thought, wait a minute. How about this? Instead of orange level anxiety, and again, I'm not so much talking about air travel, I'm talking about your life. Come on, how many of you know sometimes in life it's just orange level anxiety? And instead of orange level anxiety, we can choose a different script, the script of green pasture peace. It's kind of the same way. And so I made up my mind. I said, well, every time I hear that orange alert announcement, I'm just going to choose an alternative script and I'm going to quote the 23rd Psalm. It's very similar to, you know, for years I would be in Muslim countries and I would hear the Muslim call to prayer, Allah Akbar. And it can maybe irritate you. But then I just tweaked it and I said, okay, instead of being irritated by it, every time I hear it, I'm going to say, oh, time to pray. And I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. And then it no longer bothered me. And so now, I was doing it all this week when I was traveling. Every time I heard the orange alert, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths, the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of a red alert. If it goes up to red alert, black alert. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They come for me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of people that might want to hurt me. My enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you cannot speak that with even just a little bit of faith and not just be made to feel a whole lot better. Amen. And you just sort of like, ah. No orange alert anxiety. Instead, I've got green pasture peace. So my sermon is, in a world of orange alert anxiety, there is a way to live in green pasture peace. It's by adopting a new script, a new liturgy, a counter script, the counter script of Psalm 23 with its green pastures. And it's still waters. And it's overflowing cup. But you know what? You need to memorize it. I think I'm going to be maybe emphasizing this a little bit more. You need to memorize some things, some scriptures. You need to memorize the Lord's Prayer. If you don't have it by now, you just need to do it. It's kind of embarrassing if you don't know it. We hopefully got some of you to memorize the Beatitudes. Add to your list the 23rd Psalm. Because I'm trying to show you how you can have peace instead of anxiety. Because anxiety, can I say this? Anxiety sucks. It does, doesn't it? I mean, who likes to be uptight and stressful and under pressure? And again, the whole airport thing, and I know that serves a purpose and that's practical and it's necessary. I understand all that. I'm just saying that hearing that over and over, I think it prompted me to think about something that applies not so much to air travel as it applies to just life. There's a lot of what we can just call orange level anxiety in our lives. Things that are troubling us, worrying us, causing us distress, and we try to relax. We try all kinds of techniques. I'm going to tell you, if you'll memorize, that's your work, memorize the 23rd Psalm, and then every time that announcement starts going off in your head, something in your head telling you why you should be anxious, if you'll just flow into that, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. You know what my head went through? Oh, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I shall abide in the house of the Lord forever. You said that just starts flowing out of you. And maybe you need to kind of pray it, speak it, and meditate on it maybe for a few minutes, just kind of over and over. I tell you, you will find yourself in green pastures of peace. Instead of all stressed out. And do you believe that? I'm giving you something that will work, that will help you. This counterscript of Psalm 23. Instead of the script that forms anxiety. So whether it's terror cells, cancer cells, or if your house is going to sell, or I don't know, everything else that causes people to be stressed out, economic issues, political issues, whatever's causing you to feel anxious and your life to be filled with stress, just choose the green pasture peace found in the alternative script. Say, I'm just not going to, I refuse to accept that script of anxiety. About terror cells, cancer cells, if my house sells, economic woes and political controversy. I'm not going to go there. I'm choosing a different script. The Psalm 23 green pasture peace script. That's going to be my script. Because, I mean, how many of you have heard the orange alert anxiety announcement in your head? That's my poetic way of describing worry. Worry is really what it is. I mean, it's like this. I'm sitting there in the airport. I'm in O'Hare, and I'm reading a book. Good book. I'm trying to be into the good book. And I just keep getting... The current threat advisory is established by the Homeland Security... And it would put me in a different frame of mind. Well, worry is like that. Worry is an announcement in your head that you're not wanting to make. And it's also, how many of you understand that worry doesn't give you any more new information? Again, I understand the need for security. I understand all that. But I'm using this as something of a metaphor. But there's a part of me that says, I know, it's orange. It's been orange for 7 years. You don't need to keep telling me over and over. Well, and with worry, that's the way it is. Worry is an announcement in your head that you really don't need to hear because you already know about it. And what happens is this worry comes up into your head and it announces to you why you should worry about this, that, and the other thing and everything that could and might go wrong. And it usually has to do with money or it has to do with health or it has to do with family or something like that. And then you kind of get it pushed back down. And you just about find somewhere for peace. The current worry level is orange. And it all comes back up. How many of you understand that experience? And I'm telling you, instead of just fighting and reasoning, what we often do is we try to rationalize. And we try to tell ourselves why that fear is irrational. And sometimes, come on, sometimes we lose the argument. Sometimes we come away with, dog, that fear really is rational. So instead of arguing with it, trying to find a rational reason why your fear is illegitimate. Instead, bring forth the counterscript. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside the still waters. Restores my soul. You know, and you just flow with that. And it's a counterscript. Instead of the orange alert anxiety about finances and family and future and health and happiness and all of that. So how do you overcome the orange alert anxiety that tries to get into your head? By choosing another script. The script that will place you in green pastures of peace. Now, we have become a society that is obsessed with security. Now, security in and of itself, of course, is a good thing. What is not a good thing is obsession about security. That is anxiety that can lead to paranoia. And a mentality of orange alert anxiety is always asking, am I secure enough? Do I have enough security? You've seen people that become paranoid. And they're afraid of things that aren't there. And they never have enough security to feel secure. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so when this orange alert anxiety gets in your head, you constantly ask yourself, am I secure enough? Am I really secure from want? Am I really secure from evil? Am I really secure from enemies? Am I really secure from danger? Am I really secure from death? And this kind of obsession with security leads to anxiety and paranoia and fear that replaces faith. I mean, what good does it do to obsess about your security if in order to achieve security, you have to pay the price of great anxiety? So you're trying to, I want to be secure. And so you're going through all of these things to make sure you're secure in all of these different areas of your life. And maybe you are, maybe you're not. But the point remains that in your obsession with security, all you're doing is reinforcing anxiety. So even if you do achieve security, is it worth it if you have to achieve a security at the point of just living in a constant state of anxiety? Who wants to live like that? I don't. It's interesting that all of these questions that dominate the issue of security, want, evil, enemies, danger, that all of them are addressed in the 23rd Psalm. They're all addressed in this, what I call the counterscript, the script that leads to the green pastures of peace. Interestingly, the Psalm 23 script, it doesn't say you will never encounter any of these threats. It simply promises that you will never be alone when facing those threats. The Lord is my shepherd. And he's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. He is going to be present with me. Now, the most common source of orange level anxiety is the threat of want. If you try to guarantee security from want by having enough financial security, that's the term that you use, financial security. If you want to guarantee that you will be absolutely free and guaranteed security from ever experiencing want by having enough financial security, you will never be at peace. Because there's always a scenario where your financial security will fail. It wouldn't matter how many millions and millions and millions that you would pile away in a bank. Those banks could fail. There could be complete anarchy. There could be a complete collapse of the economy. Millions could be worth nothing. Who knows? There is always a scenario for no matter how much financial security. I'm not saying you shouldn't be responsible. I'm just saying if you're going to attempt to have peace by having financial security, it is an endless rat race. You're never going to get there. And if you don't believe it, you come tell me your plan for financial security and say, I'm going to base my peace of mind on this plan for my financial security. And within 2 minutes, I can give you a scenario where your plan would fail. Which I'm not trying to upset you. I'm trying to get you to put your peace in another place. Not a place where ultimately there never will be peace there, because there's always a threat of failure in any form of financial security. But the liturgy of green pasture peace begins by addressing the security concern of want. The Lord is my shepherd. I am his sheep. My wants are ultimately his concern. So I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm just a sheep. I'm a dumb little sheep. He's the shepherd. He's the responsible one. He's the one that's going to have to take care of me. Ultimately, it's his responsibility. Therefore, I shall not want. I am not going to go through life in a state of orange level anxiety, worried about want. Because the Lord is my shepherd. See, that's the one ultimate source of financial security that if you have faith, will give you perfect peace. Because banks can fail and governments can fail and societies can fail and anarchy can reign, but the Lord God is upon his throne. And it is established from of old, and it shall never fail. And if the Lord is my shepherd, ha! I shall not want. Amen. Amen. I believe that. Of course, the foundational fear of all fears is the fear of death. There is something to the old adage that what we really fear is the unknown. Death is the ultimate unknown. But the Psalm 23 confession deals with that too, because the Psalm 23 confession concerning the valley of the shadow of death, it does not mean that you will not ever die in the valley of the shadow of death, because I just hate to say this, but someday you will. Someday you will be in the valley of the shadow of death and die. The psalm doesn't say, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll never die, because the guy that wrote that died. What it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to be afraid, because the Lord is with me. You will never be alone. One of two things are going to happen. One of two, you're in the valley of the shadow of death. One of two things are going to happen. The Lord is going to walk with you through that valley and you'll go on living. The Lord will be with you and you'll experience death and you'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're either going to make it all the way through and continue living with the Lord, or you're going to make it halfway through and be in paradise with the Lord. It's pretty good either way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because I'll never be alone, because the Lord is with me. Which means that everything's going to be all right, because even if you die, you're with the Lord until the resurrection. Hallelujah. So if you will make Psalm 23 part of your daily script, I think you ought to do it daily. I've past week or so, been incorporating it into my praying every day. Every day I'm finding time where I'm praying. And sometimes I quote it real straight in King James. And sometimes I paraphrase it my own way. But it lives in me. And, I mean, I'm not wanting to be cocky or anything. But I just tell you, I really think that for the vast majority of people, it's way more effective than any antidepressant. For people that are really anxious and really stressed, I'm just simple enough to believe that incorporating the 23rd Psalm as a part of your daily life. I mean, until you have it memorized, you're going to have to look it up every time. That's the good thing about memorizing things is it's with you. You don't have to have the Bible with you. You can access that. But until you've got it memorized, you're going to have to look it up, Psalm 23. Most of you have at least parts of it, but you don't have quite the right order, and you'll leave out a line here or there, and you don't want to do that. So you work on it until you really have it, but until then, just, you know, read it. Work on reading it. Learn it. But then just make it part of your daily life, and you will slowly move out of orange alert anxiety into green pastures of peace. I believe this. Don't allow a society obsessed with security to script you. Because behind that obsession with security, guess what lies behind that? Fear. Yeah, insecurity. It's fear. Don't allow a society obsessed. Security is a good thing. Obsession with security is not a good thing. Don't allow the government, which has to make promises of security, to script you. Don't allow the political fear mongers on television and radio to script you. Don't allow the anxieties of empire to script you. Don't allow those who want you to worry for their profit. There's money to be made in getting people to worry. You can get people to buy stuff they probably don't need if they'll just worry enough. Don't let those who want you to worry for their profit script you. Be a little bit rebellious. I've always been a little bit rebellious. Sometimes too much rebellion is not good, but a little bit's kind of good. Rebel against orange alert anxiety. Rebel against the liturgy of mandated worry. There's kind of a spirit at times that says you, to be responsible, you need to worry. And you need to say, that's what you say. I say something else. I say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not worry about it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Take that. Oh, he leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right path. He leads me in the right path. I'm going to be on the right path. I'm not going to worry about it. He's going to lead me in the right path. Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even then, I'm not going to freak out. The Lord's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. There's all this enemies. There's everything coming against you. Everything's against you. People, all kinds of evil forces are arrayed against you. And Jesus says, let's just sit down and have lunch. Let's have a picnic. What do you say? Don't worry about it. Jesus says, let me anoint your head with oil. Let your cup overflow. Make this confession. Surely goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy. No doubt about it. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's how you rebel against mandated anxiety. Rebel against the script of a society obsessed with security. Choose the counterscript. Choose the alternative liturgy. Choose the poetry of peace over the prose of paranoia. This is not poetry. The current threat advisory, as established by the Department of Homeland Security, is orange. Please report all suspicious activity to the proper authority. That's not poetry. It's just prose. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name. That's poetry. That's powerful. Choose the counterscript. Do it by making Psalm 23 your daily script. Do it by memorizing the liturgy of green pasture peace. Do it by speaking Psalm 23 every time orange alert anxiety rises up in your mind. Some of you have never been in an airport and heard that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm using that as an illustration. Every one of you know what orange alert anxiety is like when that announcement starts going off into your head. You don't have enough money. How are you ever going to make it if you have to retire? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to keep the house? You know, things are starting to go wrong. What's that lump? What's the doctor going to say? And that orange alert anxiety. And you're responsible and you make plans to deal with it. And you just get calmed down. You're reading a nice book. You're trying to go on, have a cup of tea. And that announcement starts going off and it's not helping you anymore. It's not telling you anything you don't already know. All it is doing is out to steal your peace. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And there is no way that you are going to be able to overcome it by just arguing with it rationally, by hitting that prose of anxiety with the prose of your own reasoning. Hit it with the poetry of the Psalms. Hit it with that wild imagination of King David inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's powerful. It's supernatural. It's divine. If you will choose a new script, you will live in a new place. Instead of the world of orange alert anxiety, you will live in the world of green pasture peace. I don't know. I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to attempt to explain it. I tried one time and I think I failed in the attempt, but I'll say it, but I won't try to explain it. Prose, which is the opposite of poetry. Prose is just words. They're like a bus route with a scheduled stop, and they do the same thing over. Poetry is like a magic carpet, and it can transcend boundaries, go anywhere. I know that doesn't make sense, but it does in my mind. But you can get on the prophetic, inspired poetry of Psalm 23. And no matter where you find yourself in a situation, that thing is like a magic carpet that can just take you out of there and carry you to a good place. That's green pastures and nice little bubbling brooks and the birds are singing. And it's a place in your spirit. It's a place in your soul where there isn't this annoying announcement going off every 15 minutes telling you why you need to be worried, why you need to be anxious, why you need to be afraid. Get on that psalm and let it carry you to a place where you will not be. Now, it may try to follow you at first, because it's not established yet in you. But just try it. This is a very pastoral sermon. When that announcement starts going off about why you should be anxious and worried. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You don't have to argue. You don't even have to do it sort of defiantly. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's probably better not to do it that way. Just, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Just flow into that. That's why you got to get it memorized, because you're going to need it. And just at first, you know, you have to struggle because you're thinking. You're thinking with your head. What comes next? But you'll get it. Every one of you are capable. You'll get it. You'll have that memorized, and it'll just flow out of you. And it'll carry you to another place. When they're trying to stick you in the world of orange alert anxiety, that psalm will carry you off to a place where the grass is green and the waters are still and the sky is blue and the birds are singing. You go, whoo, I like this place. How'd you get here? I got here on the magic carpet of the inspired poetry of the Psalms. Now stand up with me. Let's say it together. We'll put it up on the screen. We'll use the, you know, you have all kinds of different translations. We'll just use what I have here. We'll use the ESV. I think we got it. Do we have it up there? Okay. It's a Psalm of David. Start there with the Lord is my shepherd. Let's just say it together. Kind of say it slow, trying to find my pace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. 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 Yeah, just start playing a little bit. Just play a little bit. We're not quite done. We're about done, but we need to minister a little bit more. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you here have been troubled even this week by a recurring orange alert announcement in your head that is no longer helping you? It's no longer telling you something you need to know. All it is doing now is increasing your level of anxiety. How many of you, who are we talking about? Let me just pray it over you. I kind of paraphrase it however it seems to flow out of me, but I'm just going to pray it over you. Lord, I pray this on behalf of those that a moment ago raised their hands. And there's an announcement stuck in their head that's no longer helpful. It's not telling them something they need to know. All it is doing now is raising their level of stress. All it is doing now is contributing to worry. All it is doing now is making them anxious. And instead of seeking obsessively natural means of security, which would only lead to paranoia, Lord, I pray this on their behalf. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Lord, make them lie down in green pastures. Take them to the green pastures. Take them out of that busy, chaotic terminal in their head where it's orange alert, and take them to a different place. Make them lie down in green pastures. Lead them beside the still waters, Lord. Lead them beside the still waters. Restore their soul. Restore their soul. I pray, Lord, that tonight you would restore their soul. Restore their soul to peace. Lead them in the right path for your name's sake. Because we confess that you are Lord, you are God. Jesus is Lord for your name's sake. Lead them in the right path. And even if we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death, even then, we will not fear. We will fear no evil. We fear not the devil. We fear not evil. Because you are with us. You are with us, Lord. Lift your hands and just say, Lord, you are with me. Lord, you are with me. Lord, you are with me. You are with us, Lord. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for each one of us when enemies amass against us. And we think we're outnumbered. We know we're outnumbered. We know these enemies are too mighty and too powerful for us. Sometimes, Lord, you do the funniest thing. You say, hey, let's have a picnic. Don't worry about them. And you prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And then you anoint our head with oil. Lord, anoint these heads with oil. The oil of joy, the oil of gladness. The oil of joy and the oil of gladness. Lord, bring forth your bottle. Uncork it. Pour out the oil of joy and the oil of gladness. Anoint their head with oil. Cause their cup to overflow. Let the cup of joy overflow. Let the cup of gladness overflow. Let the cup of being happy to be alive, let it overflow. Let that cup that the Jews hold up when they say, Lachaim, let it overflow. The cup of life, let it overflow. And our confession remains, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's not hard times and trouble and tribulation that shall always be nipping at our heels. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Say it with me. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One more time. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.